Are you someone who loves Christmas to the point that you really hate to take the decorations down, even if it's now January 15th? If you answered yes, you are a Noelophile. And so am I, and this show is for you. Hi, I'm Dot Cannon, also known as Noella Noelophile, and welcome to my Noelophile podcast. On this show, we're going to be talking about Christmas in general, and California Christmas in particular.
I love making soap, and I found some great stuff, no detergents in it. All of my salts are based off of characters from the Cove or characters that visit Mystic Cove.
Do you love scented soaps? Award-winning author Jenna Baxter has a magical approach to creating them. And while she's at it, she may very well enchant you with the world she creates in the stories she tells. Jenna is the author of some highly addictive fantasy novels, which include Reflections, The Carriage, and Veiled Memories, as well as her pretentious series. Currently, she's publishing chapters of her new novel, The Covens of Misty Haven, on her blog and in her newsletter. In addition, Jenna has short stories in two themed anthologies, but the exciting news is she has a brand new Christmas story called Seasons, coming out in the new anthology, Enchanting Yuletide. And when it comes to her soaps, think patchouli, orange blossom, and some special Christmas time scents. Jenna, which came first for you, loving to tell stories or loving to make things like your soaps?
Loving to tell stories.
Would you tell me the story of your creative journey then? When did you first discover you were a writer and storyteller?
Well, I was a reader and loved to read as I was growing up. And never kind of really understood, you know, how some kids were behind on that. You know, some kids are better in math, some people are better than English. So it just kind of progressed, and I started writing poetry as I was growing up, never published anything. And then I decided one day I really wanted to write a book, but I didn't have the confidence to really sit down and do it. I didn't think it would go anywhere. And so I finally broke down and took some classes when I got older. And after that, it was like, let's go. I never stopped writing after that.
That's a little bit scary to go from dreaming of doing it to, okay, now we've got to jump off the diving board.
It was really frightening.
What gave you the courage to do that? What was the impetus that, yes, I'm taking this writing class right now?
Well, at the time, you know, I was between jobs and I wasn't really doing anything, and I needed to get my mind focused. I was tired of putting it off because I really wanted to do it. And I wanted to leave something behind, too. I know that sounds a little strange, but, you know, we all have a lifespan, and then what's left behind is, you know, what people are going to see. And I wanted to leave something.
You want your voice heard, even if,
yeah,
God forbid, when your life is over, and this in particular incarnation, people will know who you are, who you've been.
Exactly.
Which leads me to mention, you have a wonderful upcoming novel that people had just better put aside an hour if they're going to start to read chapter one, The Covens of Misty Haven. How did you first come up with this particular concept? It's not your first novel, but it's a great one.
No, it wasn't my first. And I just, you know, I had an idea for a romance story. And my stories always include, you know, the main plot, but then there's always a story plot that encompasses everything and not just the romantic aspect. And I had this story about this girl and this particular kind of character that my male heroine, I guess you would say. I'm losing the word for it here. Anyway, so I kind of had the idea of forbidden love, because when they first come together in Misty Haven and they meet, their attraction is forbidden because of an argument that's happening between the covens at that time. And so I just, it actually came out of that idea for the romance for them. And just kind of went with it from there. The story for the whole story, not just the romance part of it, took a little longer to come to get all the pieces. But it's coming along really well. The one on the website is actually a first draft that I went ahead and posted for fans to read. They can comment if they like. Stuff like that.
My comment would be, wow, that's a good first draft. Let's give the website before we go on so people can read The Covens of Misty Haven.
It's www.jennabaxter.com.
Jennabaxter.com. Now, from that, how did you go from creating The Covens of Misty Haven to creating your soap, your fantastic Mystic Cove soap?
Oh, I used to sell soap when I lived in Michigan at a little shop, and I thought, I really miss it. I love making soap. And at the time, my husband said, we don't really have space for you to do cold process. And I said, well, fine, I'll start with glycerin soap. And so I did. I started researching for the best bases I could find to work with. And I found some great stuff, no detergents in it. That's a huge thing with glycerin soaps because they have a lot of intense detergents. Some of them are believed to cause cancer and stuff like that. And so that aspect is taken out of them. They have a little bit less in the way of bubbles because of it. But, you know, I love them just the way they are, so I'm happy. And since then, I just couldn't help myself. I'm making the cold process, too, now.
What does cold process mean again, please?
Cold process is the soap like you would buy at the store. It's bar soap. It's more traditional than the glycerin. And I love those because I can make them from scratch, and I just love thinking that out. So just different oils or do different things for your skin.
You made something wonderful. I bought a fantastic scented soap that you call, I think, Abaya's Gift. I'm probably not saying the name right, but where do you get that name? What is that?
Abaya is one of the... He's called a Praterari in Covens of Misty Haven. And he's like one of the gods of the story. And he's part mermaid. He can walk on land where the mermaids can't. But he's part of the first coven, and it's like his realm is the water. And since I wanted to use the mermaids because I like Mystic Cove itself in the story doesn't have a huge place in the story, but I really loved it. And so I wanted to go with that. And all of my salts are based off of characters from the cove or characters that visit Mystic Cove.
Tell me a little bit, please, about the process of making the soap. When you were talking about how there's cold process versus you're making the glycerin soap, what's an average day like? You're getting up, you're making a new batch. Without sharing any trade secrets, what do you do?
Well, for the glycerin soaps, it's really pretty simple. You know, you melt them down and then you add what things in it that you want to add to make it a little bit nicer and put your own flair to it. A lot of them, you know, I like to make them really pretty. I like to make them correlate with various stories, not just Mystic Cove, but all of them. Some of them go with Reflections, which is more historical romance, and they just kind of vary. The cold process, you know, that comes with sitting down and figuring out what you want to use that's going to create lather, what you're going to use to create more conditioning for the bar, things like that. And only after that can you calculate how much lye it's going to need. And it takes a little more time and a little more effort, but it's no detergents. It has natural glycerin in it, which is usually stripped out of your soaps that you buy at the store because they can sell it separate. They usually take it out. So homemade soaps are detergent-free and are usually nicer on your skin.
Why soap? Why did you first fall in love with soap making and how?
You know, it's just, I was amazed that soap could be made at home. And I was, you know, one of those girls that loved buying toiletries of all kinds, whether it was soap or lotions or, you know, makeup. And so when I saw that you could make it at home, I was like, wow. And then I was really afraid of it because, you know, dealing with a lye. Because all soap is made with lye. Even glycerin soap is initially made with lye. So it took me a while to get brave enough. And then I tried a Castile soap, which is all olive oil, and it took hours to make. I was like, oh my gosh. When it could have taken, if I had a stick blender, it could have taken maybe less than 20 minutes. So I thought I had an utter failure. But my husband went out and bought me a stick blender, and it was a lot smoother after that.
Now, a stick blender?
Yeah, see, the stick blender makes it, when you cook soap, it has to come to trace. It's not really cooking it, but trace is like a pudding consistency. And at that point, you know that the lye and the oils will cancel each other. They'll react and become soap. But until that point, they're not really connected yet.
Got it. And actually, were I thinking of making soap, which I'm not, I think using lye would scare me too, because you know it's poisonous. It's kind of scary stuff.
Yeah, and you don't really want to inhale it or have your children around when you're doing it.
or your animals or anything like that.
Exactly. I have a cat, but she's not into the kitchen, thank goodness. The bird stays in her cage, so I don't have to worry too much about her. And plus, I always do it in the sink and have special dishes, so my husband knows that that's most likely going to be lie, don't touch it. So better safe than sorry.
Absolutely. Which leads me to ask, will you be naming any of your soaps after the panther character that you had in your novel, which made me laugh out loud when I saw her name?
You know, I hadn't thought about that yet. I've been thinking of painting her on soaps, but I hadn't thought about naming one after her yet. But I think I will have to do that if I wind up painting her on one.
Should we tell listeners what your panther character's name is, or will they just have to read The Covens of Misty Haven to find out?
Oh, her name is Kitty.
And she gets into every bit as much trouble. I trust and assume that the cat that you have is inspiration for Kitty.
Actually, I got the cat after Kitty was created. But yeah, I lost my dog I had had for 18 years last year. And my husband's like, you know, you're not really good with getting new dogs right after you lose one because you expect them to be like the last one. And of course, they're not going to be. So I said, get me a cat. I need something to hold. And so he tried putting that off, too. And I said, no, I really want a cat. And we went down to the pound, and we got a six-week-old baby. And we car trained her so she can travel anywhere that we go. Great cat. She's like, she was really hard at first. She was clawing me to death because I'm not knowing a lot about cats. Training was a little bit difficult. But she's actually a year old and coming along now.
If you manage to train a cat, you do have magical talents because our cats train us.
Yeah, for sure. I know she has a lot, but those claws, I had to do some training. Oh my gosh. My legs look like a war zone for a while.
With us, it's our arms. The cats get up on your chest and knee, and they're saying, I love you, but then they get your arms like, oh, kitty cat.
Well, she thought it was really cute because she couldn't jump yet to climb up my legs. And so, at first, we thought it was cute, too, but after a week or two, it wasn't so cute anymore.
Ouch!
Yes, for sure.
Thick denim's needed here. As an artist, what parallels do you see, if any, between the creative process of when you write versus when you're making soap?
You know, writing comes along, you have an idea, and you know, there are different kinds of writers. When I first started, I was a pantser, and that's somebody who just kind of goes with, they have an idea and they just write. And then there are other people that plan, which I was taught when I went to school for it. And so I now plan. It keeps you from getting stuck as much, because when you're pantsing it, you can go, oh my God, I'm at a wall. What do I do? So I kind of just have like points to work toward until I get to the very end. But when you're writing, it changes. I may start with an idea today, but the end could change three times before I get there. You know, it happens sometimes. You get new ideas that come along, new characters, and things can change around. So the thing about soap is it's a cut and dry formula. The lye has to be the right amount of lye for the water that you're using, and it's just you try to make it the same every time you make a certain recipe. So very different.
Which leads me to say our listeners can expect something fun from you for Christmas season 2017, possibly on both of these levels. What are you creating in terms of soap for Christmas 2017?
I'm working on an anthology with some friends, and so I'm going to be making soaps that correlate with the stories there.
Ooh, what kinds of soaps?
I will have one for me that is kind of a Father Christmas, Kris Kringle character kind of person, but younger. I'll also have a Santa soap. Definitely something peppermint. I purchased some peppermint essential oil that I can't wait to use. And since I will be, they require some cure time, so I'll be working on those soon. And Christmas trees. We'll go with Barb Lieberman's story. She always has a story about a tree. So I'll have standing Christmas trees, too.
These sound yummy. Any date by which we can expect these yet?
I'm not sure, but the story itself will be coming out in November. So I expect that you'll probably start seeing them in October because I want to start my pumpkin soap. And for me, pumpkin pie, pumpkin goes all the way through that season. So I will keep my pumpkin patch soap for that period too.
In fairness to you, I should really mention that we are doing this interview in the middle of June, pre-recording. So.
Oh, I forgot. Sorry.
No, that's perfectly fine. I didn't want to make it sound like I put you on the spot. I don't know that it's absolutely fair of me to ask by what date will they be ready, because I don't know that you would know. But is that something that people can pre-order from you, your collection of soaps that go with the anthology? If, for example, you finish your pumpkin pie and pumpkin scented soap and you've got your Christmas ones, can they contact you and request, we need X numbers of cakes for Secret Santa, for example?
Absolutely. I just need, if it's going to be a glycerin soap, I can do it in, you know, probably a couple weeks. If it's a cold process soap, I need more time because they have to cure. So those I would need to know probably 4 to 6 weeks in advance to get started on those. So those are a little bit harder.
So as soon as people hear this, they really should contact you. We gave your author website, but where can they contact you for your soaps?
The URL for that is www.mysticcove.com. But both sites will correlate. You can, like, click into Mystic Cove from Jenna Baxter if you forget, or if you remember Mystic Cove and you want to go to Jenna Baxter, you can just, I'll have a place to just click back and forth.
So Mystic Cove or Jenna Baxter, we'll check that. And I didn't mean to interrupt you before. You were telling me you were doing a Christmas anthology.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I am with, oh gosh, I believe seven other authors. And they're, all the stories are different, and some are traditional, and some are actually different fields of belief. Like one story is, it correlates, like Raven Williams. Hers correlates to her story, and it goes over the solstice and the ritual for solstice. I told you about Barb Lieberman's. The only thing I know about hers is she has a really cool bindery in it, which I hope to do justice to. I haven't actually heard from anybody else what they're going to do yet, except Guy Donovan has something to do with Santa Claus, straight out. Mine is a correlation. It's about a servant of Father Time. I've always wanted to do a Father Time story. And so his servant, one of his servants, passes away before he becomes his servant. So he's able to watch him. And he's, like, devastated, not knowing what he's going to do, because he's losing a servant that should not have died, but he got hit by a car, so weaving into the street. He's a little bit of a daydreamer. And the servant's name is Season. So I have Chris Kringle as his brother and the Grim Reaper as another brother. So Grim Reaper's a lot of fun because he's depressed. And so this is going to be a fun story. Hopefully I'll get some comedy in.
I can't wait to see this because there is comedy already in a lot of what you have here. When I was looking at the Covens of Misty Haven, I was chuckling out loud a couple times because you're having a good time with your characters.
I try to do that.
You may not know this at this point, but I will ask, do you have a rough publication date for the anthology or a title yet?
It's going to be coming out in November, but I don't have the exact date. And it's going to be called Enchanting Yuletide.
Since we pre-recorded this interview in June of 2017, we now have an update. Enchanting Yuletide comes out on November 15th, 2017. You can order it on Jenna's website, jennabaxter.com. That's Jenna, J-E-N-A, Baxter, jennabaxter.com.
We'll have them at the bookstore. And some of them will be gift sets with soaps that correlate to the story. We were talking about that this morning, how we were going to do that. So,
and the store to which Jenna is referring is the brand new, this Christmas season, Pipe and Thimble Publishing and Bookstore in Lomita. They're located at 24830 Narbonne Avenue, open 6 days a week. You'll find information on their Facebook page, facebook.com/Pipe and Thimble Publishing. Talk about a great Christmas gift for somebody. This is the ultimate for a reader, I would think.
You know, I think books, you know, books for me are timeless, especially paperbacks. I really miss, you know, the smell of paper. We get so used to reading from the Kindle and the iPad. I even read on my computer sometimes. But, I think books are timeless, and any kind of book for anybody is a great idea, and just things people can use, things I'm really big on being real personal with people when I buy them gifts. So, you know, it's kind of a hard question to answer, but there are a lot of various things at the bookstore. She has all kinds of crafters there, cards. Raven Williams is also part of the anthology, and she sells cards, and hers are more, I'm not sure what the word is that I'm missing for it, but they're solstice-like and more into the Wiccan side of things.
Well, the word magical comes to mind.
Yeah, the whole thing we hope is magical for sure.
Which leads me to ask, you create a lot of magic in your books. What's one of the most magical books anybody ever gave you?
Oh, let me see. I was really into Wheel of Time. I loved that book from beginning to end, and I was devastated when Robert Jordan passed away, and I thought there would be no end. But it was finished by Brandon Sanderson, and he did an excellent job. So that was probably my favorite. I loved that book.
Definitely a recommendation for the future.
Yeah.
And I would love to know, right now as a writer, as an artist, what is most magical in your creative world? What's inspiring you with all this fun stuff?
I think what inspires me most is seeing what other people are doing, especially when they're writing magical worlds. It's interesting. I have a friend that's really big on world building, and he works the opposite way with his world building than I do with mine. He plans out his world before he ever starts his story. But while he sits there and plans out his world, I get ideas every time he says something, even though it doesn't correlate with his story. And he just gets really frustrated because he critiques my stories, and he's like, but what does your world do? It's like, well, I'm not finished creating it yet.
You don't know yet what it'll do.
Yeah, it's like, it comes to me as I go, and sometimes I have to fix things, and the biggest problem I have to fix is timeline. I always mess that up if I have a timeline that's historical and real. I have a lot of trouble with that because I'm really kind of anal about getting timelines in as much as you can correct when you're dealing with something historical, so even if it is fiction.
A Christmas gift a lot of people would like from you is to know when The Covens of Misty Haven is going to be available for publication.
You know, that one's probably going to be a little while since I'm putting it out month by month on the website. It was something that I will put out eventually in full, but it was kind of like a gift for my readers that I put on the website so that they could read it. And even if I'm working on other stories, I always get that posted every month to my newsletter and then to the website. So, not sure what the date will be on the delivery for that one.
However, people can subscribe to your newsletter, as well on the website, I see.
Yes, I actually put it out on the newsletter 1 month, and then the following month, I add it to the website. So you can watch it either way. If you really don't want to be a part of the newsletter, it's not like forcing you to do that. Just wait a little longer.
JennaBaxter.com. Now that leads me to ask you about Christmas. What's Christmas celebration like at your house? Your absolute favorite part of that as a writer and as a creative?
Oh, you know, I love Christmas, but I think this year we're going to be spending it with the in-laws. We lost my father-in-law this year, and even though my mother-in-law has Alzheimer's, so she's really not connected. I know my husband will want to spend this season with her, so...
Ah, I'm sorry.
We'll be spending up there and making dinner. She does eat well. So she's still healthy aside from the Alzheimer's.
A big hug to you and your husband. Yeah, my father-in-law had a pretty severe stroke a few years ago. So we spend some time there in assisted living. We spend some time up in Madeira, which is where they are.
You can't replace time. It's just the one thing you can't go back on.
That is it. You can fool Mother Nature. You cannot cheat Father Time.
Exactly.
We're probably going to see that in your story.
Well, you know, he's having a hard time because he wants to cheat now. His brother grabs the soul, but, you know, he still wants to cheat. He can turn back time and get his servant back, but he wouldn't do that for anybody else.
I can't wait to see this story. Jenna, thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you for having me.
You and I have been listening to award-winning author and artist Jenna Baxter. You can order the Christmas anthology Enchanting Yuletide, which includes her new short story, Seasons, about Father Time, St. Nicholas, and the Grim Reaper, on her website, jennabaxter.com. That's Jenna spelling her name J-E-N-A, jennabaxter.com. And while you're there, check out Jenna's novel, The Covens of Misty Haven, published on her blog and in her newsletter. Be warned, you're going to want to set aside a couple of hours. This is a great story. You'll also find information about ordering her other books, and you might like to ask her about her scented soaps, the Christmas-themed ones especially. But if you happen to be in the Southern California area, you might like to give yourself an early gift, for Christmas or otherwise, by going down to Pipe and Thimble Bookstore. Jenna has all her books there and a limited number of her scented soaps. I personally love the orange blossom ones that I bought, but that unicorn soap she's created in connection with her novel Reflections is a real standout. You'll find information on Pipe and Thimble and a lot of things to tempt all of us who love bookstores on their Facebook page, facebook.com/Pipe and Thimble Publishing. That's facebook.com/Pipe and Thimble Publishing. And that concludes this edition of Noellophile. Thank you for listening, and may your Christmas season include a generous helping of enchantment.